We want to welcome everybody today to Calvary Chapel, West Wichita. I also want to welcome the online community that's watching. I'm amazed that every time I get in there, we've got people that's been from New Jersey, Chicago, clear out to the West Coast. Here we are, a little baby church in the Midwest, in the middle of Kansas. And so it's just amazing to me. So I want to ask everybody a little favor, though, before we get started just a little bit, is if you'd pull out your phones, and especially those that are on, locally that's watching this online, you probably have your phone out or your iPad right now already. So if you could, just go ahead and pull it out, and you'll come up to where our Calvary Chapel page is playing. And so if you could on that, I want you to notice, I'm trying to find mine. It is up in the upper right-hand corner. If you could just hit that share button, if you could just click it, this is a new world, it's a new way of evangelizing. If you could just click that button and say share, you don't even have to put any comments in there. It's a little curvy arrow, but don't do it yet. Be patient. Don't do it yet here because I want to. We don't want it just to be a click. We don't want to do anything like that. We want to pray about it. We want it to be the Holy Spirit-led driven. So let me just pray about that right now. Lord, we come before you this morning, and with all the wiles and the trials that's going through in this world, Lord, with the COVID-19, with the just the social injustice and everything that's happened, Lord, we pray that as we get ready to do this, that you would send this out, Lord, that this word would go out, that it would be your word, it would be your message, it would be nothing flowery speech about me, Lord, but it would be all about you, Lord. And through this clicking, through this sending, through this sharing, that we would be sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' holy and precious name, everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and click it and send it out there. Gosh, I can't tell you, though, while we're doing this, I can't tell you how good it is to be back amongst humans, amongst family, amongst friends, amongst faces that I recognize. We've been talking a lot the last few weeks as we've been going through this series. And our main focus, since we've kind of come on this isolation, mandate, mask, whatever you want to call it, what we've been doing, we've been trying to cover some basic Bible principles of why we are meeting up in a room like this. Why this group of people that I'm looking at here today are in this room. Why this band of brothers and sisters are out there online listening to this message. Why the gathering of the saints all over the world today, this morning, are gathering together. And so, I want to thank, first of all, I want to thank Pastor Dade. The last couple of Sundays, he's been in here. He's been part of this message, part of this sharing. If you didn't see his message, 10 Actions for a Victorious Christian Life, do that, because we've been getting a little bit more serious lately. We're posing some questions, and we're answering those questions. Why the church? Because it comes up. And why is the church? Why is it so critical that we don't just get out of bed and put our bunny slippers on and watch it online? Why is it so critical that we show up? I mean, why is it connected to our happiness? Why is it connected to our hope? Why is it connected to our well-being? And we're asking some hard questions, and we're getting some answers for these hard questions. And so in 1 week, in week one, as we were going through this, we discovered that this church, this us sitting here, this group of believers, is actually a family. And I know that's said, and we talk about it a lot and everything, but it actually is a family, because we have been included into or grafted into God's family. We've been brought in. We were not part of it, and then we've been brought into it. So it's key to know that this, what we do on Sunday, and when I say this, it means the church. It doesn't mean Calvary Chapel, West Wichita. It doesn't mean that church that's right next door. It doesn't mean the church that's on the other side of town. It means the church of God is what we're talking about. And it's not a social club. It's not like, hey, let's all come together and you know, and sing and talk and just have a good time. It's not a social club. Although sometimes it can feel like it. It's not like a political organization. It's not us against them or anything like that. It's not a place where good people go and they can hang out with other good people and find out how we can be good or good people. That's not what it's about. The church is for family. And you guys have our families. And you have your own families. And sometimes them families have issues, and sometimes they have difficult times, but they're always family. You're always going to stick up for them. They're always family. But this family, this church family that we're talking about, it's for edifying the saints. It's for building each other up, that somebody would build me up and you would be, and I would build somebody up. It's for supporting each other when we're down and we're having difficult times. It's to encourage each other. It's to go out and share the good news with other people that have the same issues that's going on, that are just like us, that are struggling at this time. And especially at this time, and especially in this isolation, and especially in this where we've been kind of set apart and we're just a little bit afraid sometimes to go out. And so that's part of what we do as a family, is that we can go out, we can support each other, and we can share this good news with the rest of the world out there. Then we found out in week two, we asked the question, why am I here? What in the world am I here for? Did I just end up on this earth and God said, well, we've got another human, we need to find something for them to do because they'll get into trouble if they do it themselves. They're going to get in trouble, so we better not do that. But the simple answer to this, and this is my answer, that the simple answer to this is, you are here today because God loves you. You're here today just because God loves you. You were created for His good pleasure. You were created for His good pleasure. He wants to impute or bestow or whatever. He wants to share His love with you. Yeah, He has a purpose. He has a plan for you. Since before you were even in the womb, He has this set up for you, and He has a plan for you, and the plan that He has for you is a good plan. It's a perfect plan. It can be a challenging plan sometimes. It can be rough sometimes, but it's a good and it's a perfect plan. And guess what? It's written just for you. Not like all the humans, not for all the people that's online, not for the West Coast or East Coast. It's written for exactly for just for you. And then we went on to week three, and we talked about values. And what's most important? You know, what's most important in our life? You know, what do we need? What do we need to value in our life? Because what happens a lot of times is often that we catch ourselves majoring in the minors. I do it. I'm sure that you do it, but we do it all the time. We kept ourselves majoring in the minors. Here's what I mean by that. It's important. My job is important. I need to do this. I need to spend time with my job. I need to get some overtime in. So I'm majoring on my job instead of on my family, who I should be working for. Or it's my wants. You know, instead of my needs, what I really need, you know, I major in life, I need to gather all this stuff. I need to put these things together. I need to collect these things. So I'm majoring on my wants instead of my needs. What do I really need in my life? Or I'm majoring on my plans. Like, this is my plan. This is what I'm going to do. This is how it's all set up. Have you noticed how, you know, life is what happens when you make plans? It's like everything changes all of a sudden. And so I'm majoring on the plans that I have for me instead of my purpose. Why I was created, why God put me on this earth, what, you know, for that. And so we really got into some good details on them. And all of those messages, they're online at CalvaryChapelWestWichita.com. If you haven't listened to them, go back and listen to them a little bit. But today what I want to talk to you about, this is week four, today what I want to talk to you about is my faith. Your faith, but my faith also. I want to talk about faith a little bit this morning. My faith and your faith. And especially, specifically, I want to talk about finding your faith. You know, looking for it in your life. Generating something in your life. So if you would, please, I'm going to start out. We're going to be in the book of Luke. It's in chapter 17. Fire up your app. Turn on your phone. Turn off your ring or whatever you need to do. Luke, the book of Acts, that's the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, it's going to be the third book. If you don't know it, don't feel ashamed about it. Just work your way over there. The book of Luke, New Testament, chapter 17, verse 5. And today what I want to talk to you about a little bit, as you're finding your way there, I want to just share some of the major lessons that I've learned in my life. And I'll be honest with you, most of those lessons were learned because of my mistakes. And so I'm thinking, it's like, you know, you don't need to make those mistakes. I've already made them. I can tell you what happens. You know, I can tell you the end of the story. So you don't need to do that. You're better off learning from somebody else that can say, hey, I went down that road. This is how it's going to end for you. But what I want to talk about today, and this verse today that we're going to talk about, that verse 5, we're going to look at that just a little bit, might be the most important verse in this whole series. A little bitty baby verse, but it might be the most important verse in this whole series. Luke 17, verse 5. And it says, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. That's it. It's not a very big verse. It says, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. So I want to get you to give you this picture so you can get it in context and everything and understand it. They're walking down the road. The apostles, the disciples, they've been with Jesus and they're walking down the road. It's a dirt road. They've all got sandals on. They're kind of, you know, Jesus had been teaching. Maybe he stopped and sat down under a tree or something. My commentary. But he's been teaching them. And maybe at this time they're going along and maybe nobody's talking. Maybe they're just kind of going along and he's been teaching and they're in kind of in deep thought. They're just walking along. They're thinking about things that he had said. They're kicking rocks, you know. They're just doing stuff like that. And all of a sudden, one of them speaks up. And he says, increase our faith. Because they've been getting a lot of information. I mean, he'd been teaching them stuff about end times, about the return of the Lord, about the resurrection, about healings, about loving others. He's been teaching about all those deep things. And these guys come up and they said, you know what? Increase our faith. You know what that means? Help me to believe. It says increase our faith. So lesson number one in finding your faith and in looking for your faith in your life, because we all go through these difficult times, is as deep as that is this, ask God to increase your faith. Ask God to increase your faith. And when we talk about faith, you know, we talk about big faith. That's a big subject we can talk about. And I did a, you know, when I got ready to begin this teaching, I did a little quick Bible search, and it pulled up 450 mentions in 420 verses of faith or some type of faith that we can talk about. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I can do 10 verses a Sunday. It'll probably take me about 52 weeks. So the next year, I might have this covered. But until we do, we're going to talk a little bit about faith right now. And what I want to do is just condense it a little bit. I want to tie it up just a little bit closer, a little tighter and everything. I want to give you some information that you can use today. That you can go out of here today and say, okay, or you could even start as we're sitting here right now, or as you're listening to this right now, that you could do that and you could say, you know, this is something that I can do today. This is something that I can start today. And asking the Lord to increase your faith. Just like the disciples did. They said, hey, increase my faith. Is anybody needing more faith in this room? All this stuff's going on. Yeah, increase my faith. Help me, Lord. And it just seems so simple. Seems easy enough to do. When I first looked at it, it seemed to me as like, doesn't sound like something I would ask for. You know, when I'm talking to the Lord, and I do talk to the Lord a lot, and I ask for a lot of things, and I'm usually, when I'm talking to him, I'm like, Lord, reduce my pain. Make it easier for me. Increase my salary. I need more money, Lord. Change my circumstances. I don't like where I'm at. I need you to move me. Remove this thorn. You know about that. And all these apostles, these disciples that's following Jesus around, these are brand new young Christians. These are just little baby Christians. They haven't been Christians for very long. And they can see this of all the things and all the, end times and stuff that he's talking about. And I mean, all of these things, they say, increase my faith. I can see the value in this. They said, there's all these other things and I don't quite understand them yet, but here's what I know, Lord. Increase my faith. Build my faith. So why should we do that? Why should we do that? I mean, the apostles did because they were new. Christianity was brand new. So why should we do that? I mean, we know a lot about Christianity now. Well, it tells us, and you don't need to turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, I'll read it to you. Hebrews 11, verse 6, and it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. It didn't say there could be some challenges, or it didn't say it could be difficulties in life. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's why you want to ask him to increase your faith, because you can't please him otherwise. We can't do it on our own. We think we can. We think we're going to make God happy and proud of us, but we can't do it without faith. And, you know, it's impossible to please God. Faith requires trust in God. Faith requires a trust in God. And without that trust, the Bible says, it's impossible to please God. And so I got this. The Holy Spirit just gave this to me this morning. He says he doesn't want you to do the work for him. He wants you to trust in the work that he's done. Is that awesome? He doesn't want you to do the work that for him. He wants you to trust in the work that he's done. Somebody needs to put that on Facebook or tweet that or something. That's just, I thought that is amazing there. Because listen to this. God doesn't respond to complaints. I tried it. He doesn't respond to complaints. God, this isn't fair. All them other preachers have these great big churches, Lord, and I've got a little church. It's just not fair. God doesn't respond to worries. What if? Well, what if this happens, Lord? Well, what if that happens, Lord? He doesn't respond to stuff like that. God doesn't respond to bitterness. Well, God, I would have done this, but it was because of he, or it was because of she, or it was because of they. That's why I did this. Nobody else is doing it. That's why I did it. He didn't respond to that bitterness. God responds, listen to this, God responds to faithfulness. What he does. Back to Luke 17:6, and here's what it says. And it says, and the Lord said, because they said, hey, Lord, increase our faith. And he said, well, if you had the faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to that mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. And he says, and it would obey you. If you had that little faith, and what's the Lord say? That he gave us a measure of faith. And he said, if that's just that, you know, if you just had that much faith, you could tell that bush to go over here, go be planted in the seed, and it would do it. So lesson number one, finding your faith, getting the faith, generating faith in your life, increasing the faith in your life, is you just need to ask for it. Say, Lord, can you give me more faith? Can you help me out? And lesson number two is you need to act on your faith. First you need to ask, then you need to act on it. So often we do that. We say, hey, Lord, this is what I need. And then he gives it to us and puts us right in front of him. And he says, well, I wonder if that's from the Lord. You know, I wonder if that's really God. And so we need to act on it. It's just like if I went downtown right now and I took some of you with me and we climbed up on a building, threw a wire across these two buildings. And, you know, and I said, you know, I'm going to walk across from this building to that building. Do you trust me? And you'd be like, yeah, yeah, you can do it. You know, I said, do you think I can make it? Yeah, yeah. Do you have faith in me? Yeah, we got faith in me, faith in you. We know that you can do that. And I said, get on my back. You think you'd trust me then? You think you'd be acting out in faith then? I'd say, well, maybe I should. Maybe I'm not going to do this. We need to step out. We need to ask for him to increase it. And we need to act on what he's given us. Because he's given us a measure of faith. Faith isn't the measure of power. What faith is, it's the measure of belief. How much do you believe? Not how much faith did he give you. How much do you believe? Do you believe God will do what God has said he will do? Do you believe that? This is going to blow your mind. Turn over if you can. If you got time, or write this note down. Matthew 9:28. Still in New Testament, Matthew 9:28. It says, "And when he entered the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to him, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' And they said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' And then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, it will be done to you.'" According to your faith, it will be done to you. Jesus said, according to your faith, the way I taught, you know, I said, "Do you think I can do this? Do you think this is able? We can do this?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, well, if you think you can, according to your faith." He said, "I will do it." Not that, "Yes, I agree, I can do it." He said, "Okay, well, according to your faith, I will do it." You know, by this measure of faith that they had, which might have been small, which might have been large, we don't know, but he said, you know, the faith they had, he said, "I will do it. I will bless you. So you believe, I will heal you. Do you believe? Yes. Well, then I will heal you. Then so it'll be. Do you believe that he'll supply all your needs during your unemployment time? Yes, I do. Well, then he will." That's what he's talking about. Do you believe in this illness or this this virus that's going around that he'll protect you or whatever? Yeah, I do believe that. Okay, then he will take care of you. Listen, God responds to faithfulness. So you might be saying, you know, "Well, I know, Pastor Brian, it's really easy, you know, to say that, you know, well, I want more faith, or I I'm trusting in God and all of this." It's easy to do those things. But, you know, is it just kind of a name and claim? And it's like, you know, well, if I won't get sick, then I say I trust God and I won't get sick. Is that what he's saying? You know, is it as simple as ask to increase it, he will, act on it, and he'll take care of you? Well, and that brings us to lesson number 3, is know God's word. Finding your faith, you need to know God's word. You need to understand God's word. Know God's word. Ask him to increase your faith. "Lord, I need you to increase my faith." Ask him in faith, and once you do that, it's like, okay, he's increasing my faith, and I'm stepping out and I'm going forward for the Lord. Ask him about that. And then know his word about faith. Here's what it's saying. Know what the Bible says about faith. Romans 10:17, write this just as a side note. Romans 10:17. "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." So faith in us, increasing our faith, comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The easiest way to grow in faith is to know God's word. The easiest way to grow in faith is to know what God's word says, knowing his word. Here's what it's saying. He wants you to read the Bible. He wants you to look at the Bible. He wants you to listen to the Bible on the radio. He wants you to study the Bible. He wants you to memorize verses. He wants you to talk about the Bible with your children and your family. And this is the easiest way to grow your faith, is just read the Bible. What does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible mean in this? And so that's why it says faith comes by hearing. You know, that hearing can be a bunch of different ways. It can be you can hear yourself reading it. You sit down and read it, and it's like, "Oh, okay, I didn't know that. This is interesting. The Lord said he will do this, so this is interesting." It's by reading parents reading it to their children. Use it as a bedtime story. Read it to your children. Read it to your adult children. It's by couples reading the Bible together and say, "What do you think this means? What do you think that means?" It'll help you increase your faith. It's by groups coming together and reading the Bible and discussing the Bible and growing and edifying each other and supporting each other and learning from each other. Reading the Bible is the best way to grow your faith. Often, more so lately, but often when I'm talking to young couples and they're struggling and they're having a difficult time in their marriage, and at some point in the conversation, I will ask, "How's your Bible reading?" The room usually gets pretty quiet then. There's a little tension right in then. And most of the time, it's non-existent. We're not reading it at all. Very seldom is it seldom something. Well, we're just reading it seldom. Or maybe individuals, and you talk to individuals and they've been having hard times and everything and just having a difficult time and been getting into some trouble, and you know, it's like, what, have you been reading your Bible lately? No. What a place to start. Read your Bible. So if you're feeling here, maybe you're here today, maybe you're listening to this tape, maybe this is a month later or something, and you're feeling weak in your faithfulness. You just don't feel like, you know, I just don't have enough faith. I'm not strong enough to do that. It usually means one thing. You're neglecting reading your Bible. And some of you have been on a fast a long time. Yeah, we'll just catch it on the radio, or we'll catch it on Sunday, or we'll catch it next Sunday when we go. Some of you have been fasting for a long time and you haven't been feeding yourself very well. And so your faith isn't very strong. And your work has been challenging. Maybe your marriage is kind of crumbling. Maybe your self-worth, it just feels empty inside. Guess what? Go home and read your Bible. This is God's primary way of speaking to you. I would really love it if God come down and just said something really loud out of the skies and like, you need to go here or do whatever. That would be so awesome if he would just say that, and then I'd be like, okay, I'll do that. But I've never heard that before. Never heard his audible voice. Oh, I've heard him speak lots of times, and I've heard him speak directly to me lots of times by reading his Bible. Go home and read your Bible. Which brings us to the last and lesson number 4. The not so easy, but very, very efficient way of growing in your faith is test your faith. It's very efficient to have your faith tested. James 1:2. Count it all joy, my brothers. You guys know this verse. Count it all joy. Sing a hallelujah. Get an amen. Raise your hand. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. You know, when you come on trials in your life and everything, it's not the testing of your willpower. I'm going to stay here and I'm not going to move and I'm not going to do this. This is where I'm at and this is where I'm going to stay. You know, when you have trials in your life, it's not the ability of you to be able to maneuver around these crises and kind of get around them and not get into them. That's not what it's all about. It's about, you know, God grows your faith through circumstances and tests you that way. Yeah. Faith is kind of like a muscle is what it is. And the only way that you're going to grow a muscle is by stretching it. Not by saying, I have faith in you that you're going to be a strong muscle. It's by stretching that muscle. It's by testing it. It's by putting some weight on it. It's by putting some resistance against it. You know, your muscle won't grow without that resistance. It'll atrophy. So you can't do that. You can't increase the size of it, you know, unless you're stretching it, unless you're pulling on it, unless you're causing some issues in there. And the same thing is true about faith. You don't grow in faith sitting around and saying, oh, I want more faith. I wish I had more faith. That's not how you're going to grow in faith. You grow in faith by asking God to increase your faith. Because when you're asking him, he's going to give you something that's going to increase your faith. By acting out in faith, by when God says something, you're going to act out and say, okay, I think this is what the Lord is asking me to do. I'm going to step forward. You don't have to step completely over there. I'm just going to step forward. Acting out in faith. Know about God's word, you know. Are you asking the Lord, you know, saying, well, I'm trusting in the Lord that, you know, if I move in with my girlfriend or I move in with my boyfriend, that it's going to be okay. Know what God's word says about faith. And the last verse that I want to read to you, and this kind of sums everything up for us. This kind of ties all of this together. This is where we start today. We start moving on this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. It's an awesome verse. As you become a Christian, it says, therefore, as you received Christ the Lord, It says, so walk in him, but it's more than that. It says, rooted, built up in him, and established in the faith. So he's telling them, you know, now that you become a Christian, now that you're a Christian in your life, and sometimes when we say that, now that you become a Christian, sometimes that's 10 years after you become a Christian. That's what happened in my life. It's like, I've been a Christian this, I haven't grown in 10 years. So he says, therefore, as you receive Christ the Lord, so walk in him. It means be like Christ, walk like Christ, rooted up and built in him and established in the faith. So my goal for you today is, you know, is that you're going to grow in faith. My goal today is that you would just go out here and say, okay, I'm going to grow a little bit of my faith, and that your faith would be strengthened. Maybe not be strong right away, but it would be strengthened in your life. And then maybe you'd one day in your life, you know, your faith would just be fearless. You could be like them, and it'd be like, you know, the gates of hell, it's not going to prevail against you. It's just like no matter what, you know, the schemes the devil comes up with, that your life is not going to fall apart, but you're going to stand there. You're going to be steadfast in your faithfulness. That as you receive Christ, that you would think, now I'm going to walk like him. Now I'm going to walk in his shoes. Now I'm going to walk in the same direction that he's walking. And it would be more than that. It would be more than just emulating him. It would be more than just imitating him. What it would be, that you'd be rooted in his word. And you know how a tree gets rooted? It's like reaches down into the ground and just wraps and grabs and everything. And just everything holds that tree strong so that when the wind blows, when the storm comes, that tree is going to stay up. So that you would be rooted in his word of faithfulness. It's like that saying that when the storm does come, because the storm will come, I'm going to stand here in the Lord's faith because I'm going to know whatever happens is going to happen because the Lord's got this. And that your life would be, you know, fashioned, that it would be established around this in faith in Jesus Christ. Not just in faith that everything's going to be okay, but it would be established your faith in Jesus Christ that what he said, everything is going to be okay. So what I want to do right now as we close, I want us to pray. I'm going to pray for those that are maybe listening today, that maybe those that are here today, that they would receive Christ. I'm going to challenge the rest of us, myself included today, that we would recommit our lives to Christ, that wherever you're at, it doesn't mean you're a non-committal Christian or anything like that. It just means, you know, that I'm going to be rooted up more, that I'm going to be tied into it more. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to study my Bible more. So let's just pray. Lord, as we come before you this time, and there's difficult things that are happening in the world, and there's difficult things that may be happening in our lives, and there's just these difficult trials that we're going through. I want to ask, Lord, that you would increase our faith. Everybody that's in sound of this message, that hears my voice, that they would come to you and ask for an increase in faith, Lord. We ask for those that hear this message that don't know you, that at this very point, whether you're at home right now, whether you're sitting on the couch, whether you're sitting in one of the chairs here, that you would just say these words, you don't even have to say them, you can just say, yes, Lord, what he said. That you would say, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I've fallen from grace, but I ask, Lord, that you would forgive me of my sins. That you would come into my house, that you would take residence up in my heart, that you would forgive me of my sins, Lord, that you would help me to repent of my life. And in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray, amen. Lord, I pray for us that are fully devoted Christians, that you would help us to be more like you and less like ourselves, that you would help us to walk and be rooted up in you, that we would search you out, Lord, and that we would share you with the world. And in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. And so what I want to do, the very last thing is what I want to do, is I just want to invite, if you're listening to this message and you're at home, and if you're in the Wichita district and you don't have a home church, I want to invite you to this church. The Bible says, come and see. It's all about come and see what God wants to do in your heart. So as you're sitting there on the couch and you're by yourself, or you're sitting there at the kitchen table and you're by yourself, the Lord is speaking to you. Not I, but the Spirit of God is speaking to you. So we ask that you would not stay away anymore, that you would come home, that you would be part of the family, and that you would join us next Sunday. God bless.